Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you are waking up at this hour on your Friday morning, well, you might as well laugh. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how I did it when I had to wake up and do morning radio. This is back when I worked in Providence, Rhode Island. I do morning. Oh, and yes, when I was in my first stop in Oklahoma, I also did morning radio. And I am the opposite of a morning person. It doesn't matter what time of the day I wake up. The first hour that I am awake is always a challenge for me. And so I'm not good at navigating mornings of any sort. And I've learned my lesson because at least my dog, I don't know if all dogs are this way, but my dog is definitely a morning person and she thinks mornings are the best thing in the world. So we tend to clash. Sometimes she's walking me in the morning and not the other way around. But if you are a morning person and you're awake right now on your Friday, well, you almost made it through to the holiday weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's always good to have you on board with us wherever you are listening, or if you're checking out the podcast after the fact. We know a lot of you do listen on demand and find the podcast either on our social media or also on our website, afterhoursamylawrence.com. The question for tonight's show is really simple. And so many of you are sharing incredible responses. So I do appreciate you putting some thought into it, as you usually do. There's always a jokester in every crowd. But in this case, many of you have gotten very personal about who inspires you. That's the question right now. Who inspires you? On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. If you listen to me long enough, you know that people who can find humor and can maintain their sense of humor, even when life is difficult or even when life throws curveballs at them, that to me is someone who is inspirational. And I don't mean you're cracking jokes through the worst moments of your life, but the people who can find the silver lining, the people who can either be self-deprecating in the face of failure. To me, that's usually my go-to, is I'll make fun of myself before anybody else will make fun of me. But also, just to, as I was talking about with my grandmother, to find ways to kind of see the quirky and the funny and the goofy, even in the difficult situations that that we face, like toilet paper. The toilet paper pandemic, that's what this should be called. I mean, I don't know if it's calmed down enough. I still know that when I go grocery shopping, when I see toilet paper on the shelves, I text a couple of different friends who I know live in the area, because I still don't think everyone's out of the woods where you're able to get whatever you need whenever you need it. At least anytime I've been to the store, the stores have been out of things and the hours are still reduced, at least in my area. I was trying to get a hold of the bank this week, and I kept calling after the bank was closed. Their hours have been very much reduced. And so there's a lot of that still going on around the country. And yet every time I spoke to my grandmother, she would ask me about preserving toilet paper by counting squares or something like that. And I would make her laugh with some of my toilet paper tales at the store. So yeah, being able to find humor in the most difficult of circumstances to me is very inspirational. So who inspires you right now? If I couldn't laugh, I wouldn't make it. I might as well curl up in a fetal position on the floor and just stay there, because if I couldn't laugh, and I do sometimes laugh at inappropriate times, I'll just be honest, laughing sometimes gets me in trouble because I laugh when I'm nervous as well. But I have to be able to laugh through the tears. Otherwise, I would be a total lump. I wouldn't make it. And there were a few things that made me laugh on Thursday. It's been a bit of a rough week. Some stops, some starts, some disappointments. There have been some tears this week. And so I was looking every day for something that would make me laugh. And one thing that made me laugh out loud as I was looking at my computer, and we put it up on our Twitter account, the latest shot of Ryan Fitzpatrick's hair. It's astounding. It really is. He is a couple weeks away from being Tom Hanks on his deserted island in Castaway. As I was trying to describe his hair to Dave earlier in the show, Dave said something like Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, I don't know. I think he surpassed Ben Roethlisberger. And Ben has actually cut his hair now and shaved. He said he would do that once he could zip an NFL pass again. I'm not sure what Ryan Fitzpatrick is waiting for. I think he likes his hair that way. We know he plays with a beard during the actual season, but this is above and beyond.
He no touching of the hair or face.
He says he's not going to cut his hair or his beard while he's in quarantine. And so it is unruly. There are small animals probably hiding in his beard, and it could be the same with that head of hair too. I don't know if he uses product or if he's just naturally blessed with the volume in the body, because it is like a helmet on his head. So if you have not seen his hair and his beard, well, please check out the photo on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or you can just Google him, because he's out there and it's mesmerizing. I couldn't stop staring even as I was laughing out loud. I mean, we don't always get to see his crazy hair underneath the helmet, but you can usually see the beard. Oh, no, it's above and beyond now. And we'll hear from Ryan Fitzpatrick in a few minutes as part of QB News. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Something else that made me smile, Nick Saban. The man does have a sense of humor, you know. We don't always see it. We don't always hear it. He can come across rather gruff in interviews. He can get very cantankerous, a little bit edgy. He goes after the media sometimes, but he is also funny when he has the opportunity. And he recorded a public service announcement with the Alabama mascot that was put on Twitter on Thursday.
Hey, big guy, you need to be staying 6 feet away from me. And haven't I told you you have to wear a mask when you're in this building?
I mean, come on, Big Al. We're supposed to be practicing social distancing, which means we have to be 6 feet away from each other. Don't worry, Big Al. We've all been there before, buddy. Let's go get you a mask.
All of us want to make sure we play football this fall. And to make that happen, we must be sure we stay at home if we have symptoms, wash your hands often, follow all social distancing guidelines, and please wear a mask anytime you're around other people.
The elephant was wearing a mask at the end of the PSA. But also, in case you can't tell, I can hear it just because voices are my business. But he is wearing a mask as he does that public service announcement. I know I'm not supposed to laugh at people in masks, but some people just look funny in their masks. I, for the longest time, was wearing a bandana because I didn't have a mask until a family member sent me an N95, a couple of N95 masks. The bandana makes me look like a train robber. And so I would enjoy sending snaps to my family and friends with my train robber look. Even worse when I was wearing sunglasses, which I do wear sunglasses all the time. And so I definitely was going for the train robber look. And even after I got the N95 mask, I couldn't figure out how to put it on. I know, I'm not telling you that I can always I very often lose common sense. And so I was trying to put the N95 mask on, not realizing it's supposed to come under your chin. And so instead, because it was kind of perched on the edge of my chin, it looked like a beak. I look like a duck and it looked like a beak. And so one Friday night, I was trying to figure the mask out and I was getting ready to go, you know, for the grocery store the next day. And I remember I collapsed in gales of laughter. I couldn't stop laughing long enough to take the photo because I wanted to take it and share it with people. I couldn't stop laughing because I look so ridiculous. I look like a duck with a beak, only it was made out of a mask. And so, to see Nick Saban wearing a mask, I wasn't laughing at him. I was laughing with him for how he scolded Big Al, the poor elephant, who then had to find a gigantic mask to fit over his trunk. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Something else that made me laugh on Thursday. Now, it didn't air on Thursday, but I had recorded some episodes of Peyton's Places, this ESPN Plus series that he did to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the NFL, and so, or the 100th season of the NFL, and so they were on the Plus platform, and I didn't see them during the season for obvious reasons. And so I remember 6 weeks ago I taped a few of them. Some they were replaying them. It was like a Peyton's Place marathon on TV, and so I was going through and kind of taping a few of them that I thought looked interesting. And honestly, I forgot about them. And now I'm going through my DVR to clean it off because I'll be moving soon and they don't generally let you take that DVR with you. And I don't want to miss anything that I have taped. And so I came across this one on Thursday night and I thought, you know what? I'll watch this because this weekend is the match between Peyton and Brady and then Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. It's called The Match. They're raising money for charity, which is great. And it's sure to be really entertaining if they're mic'd up and we can hear them clearly. Those are my two concerns. They need to all be mic'd up, not just a mic near them, but them mic'd up individually so we can hear what they're saying. Or if they're screaming. And then they need to have clear audio, which I get it. It's not when these guys are moving around, it's not always easy to do, but it better not be muffled or incoherent because that would stink. So I thought, you know what? I'll see how these two guys interact. We have seen them on the football field together before. They're cordial, they're polite, but usually one's happy and one's sad, or before the game, it's just a brief handshake. We've seen them in various formal situations, award shows, that kind of stuff. And for whatever reason, they were both wearing suits in this edition of Peyton's Places. I don't really know why, but they showed up at Jim Nance's house in Monterey, California, wearing suits. And they essentially broke into his house. He has a gate over in front of his property, and they had to guess the passcode. And it turned out to be, "Hello, friends." And so they break into Jim Nance's house, and behind Nance's home, he has a replica golf hole, and it's got an elevated tee box. And
I'm Jim Nance.
You hit down to a green that is right off his back patio. It's really pretty. It's not a super challenging hole. It's I think they said it was something like 53 yards. I don't know. And so they're up at the top of this hole, and they're chipping golf balls, and they're kind of do closest to the pin contest. And the whole time they're making jokes, they're laughing, or they're telling stories. And so the two of them, with their one-liners and their humor, when they're away from the football field and they're not as intense as what you get when they're in the heat of the moment. We've seen that with Peyton, of course, because the guy has been retired a couple years and he likes to make appearances on various shows, and he shows up and does kind of fun events, and he just is Peyton. He just is his normal goofy self, plus the commercials that we've seen with him. He doesn't mind making a fool of himself. He is big on the self-deprecating humor.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
See what I mean? And so he has no problem making a fool out of himself in public. But come to find out, Tom Brady has some great one-liners as well. Now, I don't know if we're going to get Howard Stern, Tom Brady, on the golf course or what.
I love Aaron Rodgers.
But he's also very funny. And we get snippets of that on his social media now that he's on Twitter and he's on Instagram, and we know he's been on Facebook for a while. you'll get him kind of trash talking during the season, you know, and putting photos out there that depict his opponents as barn animals or whatever. So he does have a sense of humor. The two of them, though, relating, just the two of them and the camera crews, there was nobody else there. And so Peyton's bringing up various games and different moments in Brady's career. And they went through a couple of different moments where they were on the field together. I think one where Peyton's team came out victorious and another where it was Brady's team on top because they met in four different AFC championships. But it was just really cool to hear them interact and to see the one-liners flow, to hear the one-liners flowing back and forth. So
I'm just here to play football.
If we get those two guys relaxed and engaging and entertaining and full of the quips and the one-liners on the golf course Sunday, it will be fantastic. And I think that's what TNT and TBS, Turner Sports, are banking on, because they're airing this charity match live on both of their networks. And something else that I find fascinating, too, is that this is not their arena. Do they both golf? Yeah. But there's a big difference between being a professional golfer who's won multiple majors, who is, you know, in Tiger's case, considered the greatest of all time, or at least one of the greatest, depending on who you ask. And then Phil Mickelson, who is, I mean, he's got one of the best short games in the history of the sport. And so Tom and Peyton are not going to be the goats on the golf course. They're not going to be the best out there. In fact, there may be times when their partners have to carry them. The front nine is a best ball competition. I think it's designed to keep the match competitive because, you know, that way they don't have to play Peyton or Tom's shots. So I just think the whole thing could be really cool because they're not in an arena where they will be the best of the best and on, you know, on full command and everything's going to be going the way they want it, where they're dictating to the defense. It just, it won't be that way. So after seeing the two of them go back and forth, and they ended up hitting golf balls off Nance's house to try to get it closest to the pin. But after seeing the two of them go back and forth and joke about different moments on the field, I think it could be great television on Sunday. So I am really looking forward to it. And if you are too, love to hear from you. Plus, we're asking you who inspires you right now on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And coming up, that wasn't really QB news. I mean, it kind of was, but it wasn't really about them as QBs. We'll get some actual QB news.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Have the off-season blues?
Blake Bortles delivers to his tight end.
Mariota drop. Fires downfield. It's caught to the five, to the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
How about the Hail Mary from Winston?
He's to the five. He's in for the touchdown.
What a play by Manning.
Rodgers.
In the end zone.
Time for QB News on After Hours.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has more on his mind than his bushy hair and his bushy beard. In fact, he probably doesn't even think about them. Even when he looks in the mirror, he's just so used to seeing that all over his face right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. No, Ryan Fitzpatrick has a new member, a new very high-profile member of the Dolphins QB room. And he was a guest on the What's Next podcast. And, of course, he was asked about working with a rookie from Alabama.
I'm really excited. I'm excited that they drafted him. Like, I'm excited because I've been watching him play at Alabama. Like, he looks like he's a pretty dynamic talent. Just in meeting him a few times, like, he seems like an unbelievable kid, great head on his shoulders, like, says the right things, wants to do the right things.
That's a series of compliments or a series of remarks you'll hear about Tua a lot, that he has a good head on his shoulders, that he says the right things. He comes across very mature, that he really wants to work hard. And so for Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's a bonus in the QB room, of course, but it always, leads to this question of competition when your team drafts somebody at your position who comes in with this big pedigree and this incredible college resume. And so, of course, with Fitzpatrick, yeah, he's right now the guy with the experience, but you can't help but see the writing on the wall for sure.
For me, I'm his biggest cheerleader right now, but I also want to be out there playing. You know, I also want to be on the field, and that's kind of why I'm still doing it, because I still enjoy playing the game. So hopefully some of the lessons I'm able to teach him are him watching me play. But if it's the other way around, you know, I'm going to do my best to help him succeed in the best way that he can.
How can Tua succeed? It's interesting to hear Fitzpatrick answer this question about what he wants from young quarterbacks that he shares space with.
I'm an open book. Ask me whatever you want. And so sometimes it's up to the younger guy to, courage might not be the right word, but have the courage to come up and ask questions and to not feel like he's a bother or a pain in the butt. And I just try to be open and honest with everything that they want to talk to me about.
Be bold is what Ryan Fitzpatrick is saying. So Tua Tagovailoa, who was in a situation at Alabama where he was behind Jalen Hurts and came in and had to bide his time a little bit and worked hard and then earned that starting job. Who knows how quickly the Dolphins will start him? It's interesting. I feel like the 6 degrees of separation here because Ryan was on the What's Next podcast with Eric Wood, the former Pro Bowl center for the Bills, who was, of course, on that offensive line with Fitzpatrick. Wood was just a guest on our show last week, and we talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick. And, he said that he believes that Ryan will start this upcoming season for the Bills, though you never – the Bills, sorry, the Dolphins. You never know what the plans are and how this offseason, where there hasn't been a rookie OTA, where they haven't had any mini camps yet, how that might affect rookies and how that really might affect the whole dynamic. And for the Dolphins, they have a brand new offensive coordinator as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Elsewhere in the AFC East, Frank Gore goes from the Bills to the Jets. And he was also doing an interview. So funny. He was doing a Zoom call and he was so far back from the computer. And it looked like he, I don't even know. You know, some people, they put up these decorations or they do the Zoom call in a bright room or they point the computer or the camera in a direction where, you know, everything looks really cool. Not the case for Frank Gore. He was way far back from the computer or the camera. And then there was some weird shutter behind him and a white wall. So I'm not sure where he was. It didn't look all that inviting, but that's all right. Anyway, he was talking about the AFC East and how he believes that the division is up for grabs now because Tom Brady has departed.
I think it's wide open. You know, like you say, Brady's gone. It's wide open. We got, young quarterbacks, Sam Donald, Josh, and I don't know what Miami's doing or whatever, but, you know, I think it's wide open.
That kind of fits with what I was saying, right? I don't know what Miami is doing or whatever. but he's right, and we've talked about this in the AFC East where he remains. You could potentially have the oldest starting quarterback with the most wins at just 23 be Josh Allen of the Bills, which is, of course, the quarterback he worked with last year. That is if Tua ends up starting in Miami. Don't know how quickly that happens, but think about it. Sam Darnold, who was, 19 when he was drafted? And so he's got a couple years under his belt, but last season was derailed by the mono in the middle. And then you would have, likely, Jarrett Stidham. I guess there's a chance Brian Hoyer could earn the Patriots job, but Jarrett Stidham in his second year, but hasn't started. And then you're talking about maybe a Ryan Fitzpatrick, though we don't know yet. So interesting to think about how the AFC East could be up for grabs for the first time in over a decade. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dak Prescott, the subject of more reports. I'm using my air quotations right now. Reports. I don't know how you can even believe this report, but there were a couple of that were made on Thursday. One is that Dax Camp was asking for $45 million in the fifth year of his contract with the Cowboys. Now, you remember, the sticking point has been number of years. Dak and his camp want 4 years. The Cowboys want 5 years. They want to be able to lock him up as long as possible. And so there was this rumor, this report out there with Chris Sims, who's a former NFL QB himself, has been on the show. Now he's in media, that Dak was asking for $45 million in year five. And then, kind of playing off that, there was another report that he was asking for $45 million every year of the deal. Multiple sources tell CBS Sports that neither report is true, that those are both inaccurate. But I don't even know how you can believe that. That doesn't even make any sense. Right now, the highest paid NFL QB is Russell Wilson at $35 million per year. Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, they're all kind of right behind him, about a $2 million separating that group. Carson Wentz is in there as well. There is no earthly way that Dak Prescott's camp could ask for $45 million per year and not get laughed out of the room. Again, it doesn't even make any sense that an agent or a camp would say, oh yeah, you know what? The going rate for QBs right now is $35 million, but you pay us $45 million and we'll sign the fifth year of that deal. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Maybe, and it really kind of depends on the timing of Patrick Mahomes' big deal, I could see him making $40 million per year. What do we hear from the ownership, from the Hunt family, that they were planning to break the bank on him and that he would likely be the $200 million man? All right, so he'd signed a five-year deal, what, for $40 million a year? Super Bowl MVP, NFL MVP, he has rejuvenated that Chiefs franchise. There is nothing that you could say that's similar about Dak Prescott. But even if we're talking going rates, no team is going to jump $10 million per year from the highest paid NFL QB right now and give that to this guy. No, absolutely no way. So I saw the report and I kind of laughed and smirked at it because there was no way that it was that I didn't think it was accurate, but I know it sent many sports fans and certainly social media into a tizzy yesterday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We are asking you on this edition of the show, who inspires you? It's a simple question. And many of you have chosen people within your own circle, family members, friends. Some of you are pointing to athletes or other names that are recognized across the United States or even across the world. However you draw your inspiration, that's awesome. We just want to hear from you. A-Law Radio on Twitter, also on our Facebook page. To that end, want to bring back a portion of my conversation with longtime NFL tight end Reggie Kelly. We started out talking about the Rooney Rule and his perspective on the Rooney Rule, and we ended up in a place of inspiration, which was pretty neat. So just a portion of that straight ahead.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Everybody in the football world weighing in about the Rooney Rule proposal that the NFL has had on the table. There are pieces of it, but the one that really was controversial, this idea of rewarding teams with improved draft position in the third round if they hire minority head coaches or minority general managers. And it was real controversial. That's Scott Pioli with Mike Francesa on our New York affiliate WFAN. But we also had Tony Dungy weigh in on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. We heard Marvin Lewis speak about it as well on our Baltimore affiliate. And it didn't seem to have any buddy in its corner, this idea of draft incentives for hiring coaches or general managers that were minorities. It was interesting to talk to a longtime NFL tight end about this concept. And as I was talking to Reggie Kelly, our conversation unfolded into something a little different. So I wanted you to hear a part of that on this morning when I'm asking you, who inspires you right now? on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And again, Reggie Kelly, who played for the Falcons and for the Bengals. We talked to him about the new look NFC South, as well as Joe Burrow. And turns out he played for Bruce Arians in college, so a good conversation about Bruce. But we pick it up where I ask him his opinion of this draft incentive portion that did get tabled, but was out there for a while as an amendment to the Rooney Rule.
Just my first thought, you know, I think that there are tons of great coaches out there, and there are tons of great white coaches. There are tons of great black coaches. There are tons of great just minority coaches in general. And Coach Lewis definitely is one of my favorites. Mm. I just think that teams need to be fair and pick the best man for the job. And I really believe that. And I believe that there are tons of African-American coaches out there that are really, really can be a really big asset. I think that there are tons of some really good African-American coaches out there that can really get the job done and can really bring home a championship, which is what the organizations are looking for in of itself as well. And I think that a lot of times teams are doing their players, I think they're doing the organization and the cities a disservice when you don't pick good coaches. I think that sometimes, and I do believe this, sometimes, and I think it's been said by some other analysts as well, sometimes owners tend to be geared toward their own skin color simply because that's what they can relate to. Now, I'm not saying that that's always factual, but I've heard that on a number of occasions, and sometimes that is the easy way out. There are a lot of great coaches, in my opinion, Amy, that's out there getting the job done. And I don't care if you're black or white. If you can get the job done, get the job done. And if you have a great coach, especially an African-American coach that you know can get the job done, go ahead and give him a shot. Give him a shot. Let him do what you paid him to do. And if you don't get the job done, you just don't get it done. I don't think that there should be a lot of extra incentives, in my opinion. I just, for whatever reason, I just rather not go that route. I just say, hey, if you see a guy that can get the job done, do the right thing and sign him on board. But what's your thoughts on that? That's just me. What do you think about that?
Well, as a woman who works in a male-dominated business, my experience is a little different, and yet I can understand not having the same opportunities. And I always was of the opinion, I don't care if I'm your first choice, your second choice, your third choice. However the door opens for me, once you give me the job, I will prove to you I was the right choice. And so I believe that sometimes, as you say, the opportunities even to interview aren't granted because we gravitate toward what we know, whether it's overt or whether it's a subconscious thing. And because I always looked and sounded different in this business, there were times when I was passed over even for the chance to interview. So while I don't necessarily like the idea of an incentive that a company can take advantage of, I do think the more opportunities, the better. Because if Eric Bieniemy can get in front of a handful of other teams, no doubt he can impress them and he can prove to them that he is head coaching material. So I think the extra opportunities to me makes sense. I do think that if the NFL has to mandate the number of interviews that are being conducted, then so be it, because these guys just need a chance in many cases.
Yes, and I agree with you with that 100%, because I think that some, you know, for me, and this could be just me being naive, I'm always the guy to say, just do the right thing, man. Mm-hmm. Do what's right. If the roles were reversed and if you were put in this situation, would you want somebody to give you a shot if you deserve the opportunity? So do the right thing. But in society that we live in today, whether if it's corporate America or the entertainment business or the NFL, a lot of times people don't want to do the right thing, and you have to put pressure on them, so to speak. But, man, I just hate to use that word in a lot of sense. You have to put pressure on people to do the right thing. Man, that has never set well with me. Mm. But yet still, this is the world that we live in, and so I can definitely understand that as well. And I think that you gave a great analogy, and you made a great point, especially in regards to females. In this type of industry that we live in and that I've lived and breathed for so many years, sometimes females are overlooked. Sometimes African-Americans are overlooked in certain situations as well. But, man, if you got the ability, if you got the gifts, if you have the talents, man, somebody please give that person the opportunity so those talents can blossom and flourish on the big stage so that everybody can see what they're capable of doing. And the next thing it does as well, Amy, it gives the next generation hope. When you see somebody that looks like you or your same gender, and you see that they've gotten an opportunity and you see that they flourish, it also can help that next generation to have hope that they can also flourish and that they have an opportunity to be put in that same position and still get a fair shake at it. Again, you know, I'm not really all for, you know, the incentive package, I guess you could say, but if that's what it takes, if pressure is what it takes, just so a certain gender or a certain race or a certain culture can get an opportunity, then guess what? That may be what we need. And then once they get the opportunity, kick the door down, kick some butt, prove them wrong, do your thing, elevate your game, you know, make sure that you prosper, and not just for yourself, but also for the next generation coming behind you.
Absolutely. Fantastic discussion. I love it, which is one of the reasons why I'm always so excited to have you on the show. So you can find Reggie on Twitter at ReggieKelly82, a longtime NFL tight end, and certainly a guy that I could talk to all day long. Not to mention homemade peach cobbler he made recently. It's on his Twitter. So you got to check that out. It looked amazing, Reggie.
But you know, during this quarantine, Lissus, you know, we've been coming up, my family have been doing so much cooking. But you know the downfall when you do so much cooking, you grow. You grow. And I don't mean vertically. I mean horizontally.
Oh, I understand. I've been baking cookies and then trying to find people to give them away to because I absolutely cannot be eating them all myself. So I get that. Well, Reggie, it's great to connect with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. Let's do this sometime very soon in the near future. God bless, young lady.
He always makes me laugh, and he's a great cook, and he puts photos and videos up on his Twitter. But I love how the discussion of the Rooney Rule turned into a bit of a conversation about inspiration. And it's yet another reason, even if you do have to put pressure on teams, and we're talking about football right now, but even if you do have to put pressure on them, is it worth it then? Because if you can melt some of the iceberg and if you can get more minorities in positions where other people can see them, so coaches, coordinators, general managers, well, then you inspire the next generation who say, hey, that guy or that gal is like me. No one says gal anymore. That guy, that girl, that woman is like me. I can do it too. If he or she can do it, I can do it too. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So good to talk to Reggie always. We met in Atlanta, I guess it was about 14, 15 months ago at the Super Bowl in Atlanta. And he's been on the show a few times and we keep in touch. I'm just so grateful for him. He's always hopeful and he's always positive. And if you want to hear what he had to say about Bruce Arians as a coach, because Bruce coached him in college and they're real good friends, or about Joe Burrow, about the Bengals, about Rob Gronkowski returning as a tight end after a year away, well, you can check out the rest of that conversation with Reggie on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. So we've been asking you who inspires you, and many of you have found us on our social media. Kent says, I'm inspired by the volunteers at the Guide Dog Foundation who are working through the pandemic, taking care of dogs that will one day help the blind and our nation's vets. Yeah, for sure. To continue doing the work that will have ripple effects, not just the rest of this year, but down the road, even when it seems like the rest of the world is thrown into flux. That's admirable. Mark on Twitter says, I am inspired by our healthcare workers, which I appreciate for sure. And then many of you posting on our Facebook page and some of you telling us stories, not just who inspires you, but also why they do. David on Facebook, my 16-year-old son inspires me. I celebrated 17 years sober on Monday. David, that's awesome. Congratulations. He says, having a son got me refocused in life. He's a leader, never complains, works hard, and he is a blessing. Let's see. On Twitter, Shane says, my aunt inspired me. She just lost her husband last week of 50 years. She's so strong and still smiling through her pain. I love her. Melissa, I am an RN working in a hospital in Massachusetts. My inspiration, the nurses who left their usual departments to take care of COVID-19 patients. They have left their comfort zones to take care of some of the most critically ill. Melissa, thank you for your work during this time, and thank you for sharing that. Let's see. Paul says, my father, although he's been gone a number of years now, he's still with me every day. He taught me how to work hard, how to be a dad, how to be a man that is loved and respected, not by words, but also by how you live and treat others. These are awesome, you guys. So good. Mark says, my wife, she's stronger than most people. Brian says, my friend Tom, who is in law enforcement and beat COVID after 3 weeks on a ventilator in ICU. That's amazing. Brian, thank you for sharing that. And Tom, thank you so much for your service. Let's see. Jim says, my wife, an amazing woman. She's everything to me. Took me from being an alcoholic to a family man. Derek says, you have inspired my family to go on vacation. Well, that was our last show, Popular Vacation Destinations. I'm glad to hear that it inspired someone. Gary says, I'd have to say my store manager at the grocery store chain where I work, he started flawlessly to make sure all customers have what we need. You're so good. Thank you so much for weighing in on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on Facebook. These are awesome. We will be back on Sunday night following NASCAR and the match with the star-studded golf tournament. So join us then after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.